All right, 1 hour to go.
Some people do a 3 o'clock growl.
Okay.
But the...
So it's called when I wake up from my naps. Three o'clock growl.
This hour's loaded. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, lie of the day. I may have told it already. I may not have. But if you can figure out the lie of the day, you win tickets to Rams, Arizona, this Sunday at SoFi at 1 o'clock. And by the way, this Sunday, I've been telling you guys this all week, but I want to keep doing it as kind of a public service to anybody who's got tickets to any of these things. This Sunday in L.A. is an absolutely loaded sports day. Brewers-Dodgers at Dodger Stadium at noon. Lakers-Nets at Staples Center at 12:30. And Rams-Cardinals at SoFi at 1. So if you have tickets to any of those, make sure you leave early and leave extra time because the freeways are going to be absolutely jammed. Are you in town this weekend, Clinton?
I'm not. I will be in Stillwater, Oklahoma for the monster Big 12 ranked matchup of Baylor versus Oklahoma
State. Have you ever been to a game at Oklahoma State?
I've never been there. T. Boone Pickens Stadium is a place to be.
I've worked a couple of games there, and I will tell you one of the coolest things I've ever seen. You ever heard the song, I Should Have Been a Cowboy by Toby Keith?
Probably.
Dig that up if you can, Jorge. So it was a huge hit for Toby Keith. So I don't know if they still do it. But when I was the sideline reporter for UCLA, we played a game at Oklahoma State.
Okay.
And they're the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they get the entire stadium on its feet. They play that song over the loudspeaker, and 50,000 people sing that song all at once. And it is surreal. Like, it gets it. This is it.
Oh, there it is.
And the players get into it, and the fans get into it, and you're going to get to see it this weekend when you go out there. So this is
what we call, Greg, a yeehaw situation.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you'll like it. You'll like it, though. Okay.
Yeehaw Clinton Yates.
Your boy Yeehaw is going to be in the building.
Speaking of entertainment. All right. I've been waiting to get to this. I watch a lot of Netflix. I watched the Britney documentary last night.
Oh, okay.
So, for weeks, the number one show on Netflix in 2021 was Bridgerton. That is no longer the case. The new number one show on Netflix is a show called Squid Game. Now, I know nothing about Squid Game. But Clinton, you do. You've seen at least one episode.
I've seen three episodes so far, yeah.
What the heck, to somebody who knows, I literally know nothing, don't even know what it's about, what is Squid Game?
Okay, so the giveaway word in the title is obviously the word game. Now, I'll ask around the room as well. Everybody's seen The Hunger Games, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Has everybody seen, and I think this is the name of this movie with Michael Douglas, The Game.
Yes, where
really
Sean Penn
good.
Plays his brother, and they pull a prank on him, a game.
Correct.
Great. Yeah.
This television show is basically like The Hunger Games plus The Game without the added level of maybe the people that you root for are going to have to kill each other necessarily.
Is there killing in... Well, first of all, let me ask you this.
Hold on.
Is it fictional?
Now, yes, this is the thing. Okay. Now, I mean, it's fictional, but only in the context of you presume this is not happening in anybody's real life. There is nothing, at least so far, there's nothing like paranormal about it. It all feels like it could be very real. There are no extensions of reality so far that are beyond just the typical serendipity of life. That's what's sort of interesting about it. Now, the other thing is that it happens in Korea. And so there's this whole element of like, there's a bit of a culture description and sort of part of the society that I think as an American watching it, like you're learning about Koreans as much as you're learning about anything sort of entertainment wise. And the only reason I say that is because the person who recommended the show to me is our colleague June Lee, who is a baseball writer at ESPN. You've probably seen him on Around the Horn as well. And he just hit me like, Squid Game, must watch, we'll talk later. And I was like, okay, that means I'm in. And I've watched like three and I hit him back and I was like, bro, this show is riveting, but I can't decide if I actually want to watch it with the dubbed over English or if I'm losing something and not watching it in Korean with the subtitles. Like, okay. It's that interesting, you know?
Explain the game aspect of it. Like, how would I win the Squid Game?
First of all, stay alive. And secondly, there hasn't been a connection yet because in the opening of the show, they explain what the Squid Game is, which is a playground game that is apparently played in Seoul. And all of the rest of the games they've had to play are like playground games with deadly results. And so I'm not really sure how this is going to come all back around, but there's a lot of interesting character development. And basically what happens is a bunch of down on their luck people get drawn into this sort of Hunger Games type environment in order to stay alive and potentially win a bunch of money.
Interesting. All right. So
it is interesting.
It's worth checking out.
I mean, it's also, and this is the other thing I've talked, I'm giving away our conversation here, but it doesn't matter. It's only about a TV show. I hit June and he was like, yo, I kind of got to take breaks when I watch it because like it's that intense. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those kind of shows where like I don't necessarily think you're going to binge it. Like I watched two this morning, stopped watching it, two last night, stopped watching it, watched another one this morning. And I was like, I'm good for the day, you know, because it's that
okay.
intense.
All right. Yeah. I will definitely check it out. All right. Hey, Greg, do we have that Jalen Ramsey, Tom Brady sound?
Yep, sure do.
Okay, so, Clinton, I wanted to get this in here. We got the Fez coming up here in about 10 minutes, Steve Fezzik, with all your gambling news. But I don't know how much you know about Jalen Ramsey from the Rams. He is probably as good of a trash talker as
oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a Deion Sanders-level trash talker. He doesn't give anybody an inch. Like, he talks about how every quarterback sucks. Every quarterback can't beat him. Every wide receiver can't beat him. He's just super confident and kind of fun. You know, I've never heard Jalen give an inch. The best way to explain him is he's modern day Deion, okay? Which made this super interesting. Like, they mic Jalen on most games because he's such a great talker. So you're going to have to listen closely here because these mics are inside their pads and it's not always easy to hear it. But Jalen met Tom Brady on the field after the game. And I somebody told me that he was mic'd. I go, oh, boy, I bet you Jalen just gave it to Brady. And it was exactly the opposite. Listen to what Ramsey and Brady talked about when they met on the field Sunday.
Inches.
Hold it just a little bit longer next time.
No. Gotta get rid of that thing.
Man, I respect you so much.
Thank you, man.
I just love playing against you, man.
Yeah,
it's an honor, man. Thank you. I appreciate you.
I get it.
I respect you so much. It's an honor to play against you. That's the respect that Tom Brady commands, even from the biggest trash talker in the league.
I have to say this, and this is something that I've been thinking about over the past couple days because, you know, in the regular rotation of programs that we all do, these topics come up in different ways. And Seth Wickersham's book about the relationship between Belichick, Bill Belichick, head coach of the Patriots, and Tom Brady, who obviously used to be their quarterback. I think that like there's been a very, and sort of the reality that's happened in between, I think that there's a lot of people out there that are learning that Tom Brady probably was a lot more likable than anybody at the Patriots was ever willing to give him credit for because of the way they ran their franchise. And so for me to see a guy like Jalen Ramsey come out and be like, hey, man, thanks for rejoining the rest of society so we can all be nice to you as opposed to having to hate you because you were operating the Death Star with that franchise that kept everything secret and a lot of people thought were cheating. I think there's an interesting part of that. And I think what Jalen Ramsey is doing, I think that's a reflection of that. It's easier to like Tom Brady now than it was before. And so, of course, he's summa cum laude when it comes to being an original loudmouth. Jalen is. But this to me is an indication as much of who Brady has become to everybody else as it is anything else.
And let me tell you this about Jalen Ramsey. I've had two different people who cover the NFL tell me that Ramsey is now a candidate for NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Everybody assumes that Aaron Donald will be the Rams representative in that world, that because Aaron Donald is probably the best defensive player of his era and in all of the NFL, that you could never say another player is better than him. The people that cover the NFL that I've talked to say, keep an eye on where Jalen Ramsey is on every play. Sometimes he blitzes. Sometimes he drops into coverage. Sometimes he jams the runner. Sometimes he's doing everything, and he's making a huge difference for the Rams. So, Clinton, it may be a Kobe Shaq situation. The Rams may have the two best defensive players in all of the NFL on the same team.
Well, one of the things the Rams do as well, and this is something that I'm not going to say it takes a trained eye to see, but I think that when you notice it, it's impossible not to sort of think about all the time. The Rams are the best tackling team in the league right now, meaning you're getting the ball, you're going down. And it doesn't mean that every hit is a huge one. It doesn't mean that guys are getting their helmets blown off. It just means that for a play to be effective against that Rams defense, particularly their DBs, you're going to have to make a physical play. Sure, you might get a little 5-yard hitch or a little 9-yard out here and there, but they're not turning into 20-yard plays. That's not what's going down. And the Bucs learned that lesson last week where it was like ball, contact, down. That's it. And I think Ramsey's been a big part of that, not just from a scheme standpoint, but from an actual physicality standpoint, which helps the defensive line overall because they feel they can pin their ears back because they're not going to be giving up big stuff over their head. They're looking good. They're the best team in the NFC right now. Not close.
All right. Coming up next, Steve Fezzik, our guy in Vegas, will tell you which way to bet this weekend.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's that time again where we get to talk to one of our favorite guys, Steve Fezzik from pregame.com in Las Vegas, where my Raiders, Fez, are now 3-0. Even if they did screw me by not covering the spread last week, they pulled it out in overtime. Is there Raider buzz happening in your town of Las Vegas yet?
Oh, it is absolutely insane. The Golden Knights took over the town, and now Raider mania is here. But I tell you, the Raiders are only about 50-50 to make the playoffs despite being undefeated. What a division they are in.
Is that why that they're 50-50? Because people think the Chiefs are going to come back and Denver's better than expected? And is it partly because they're in that division that people think they might not make it?
Absolutely. Look at these season wins, which are posted at DraftKings amongst some other books on the East Coast. The Raiders are only sitting at, I believe, 8.5 in terms of what they're supposed to win. Wow. And you've got Kansas City that is at 11.5. You've got the Chargers at 9.5 and Denver at 10.5.
Okay, so Fez, I have a question, which is that I have been talking on television about how the Bears quarterback situation is a complete disaster and they have no plan, and that's evidenced by every single thing they do. Am I to believe, particularly this week against the Lions, they're ever going to cover another spread again?
You know, the pros I spoke to, and one correction, Vegas is at 9.5 for their
season
win.
I'm reading this wrong, yes.
I know, I read it wrong. I remembered it wrong. But I've spoken to a lot of pros, and we are, you know, it's not like we all are just smoking cigars and agreeing that that's the sharp side or the wrong side on all these plays. Sometimes we disagree. But I've never seen such indifference to a game as this Detroit-Chicago game. No one I know has bet this game, despite it being between 2.5 and 3, because of all the uncertainty. We want no part of the Lions, who the Ravens dropped 3 bombs against the Lions last week. So we think the Lions are overrated, but we hate the Bears. 1 yard per play last week. One. Never seen that before.
Yeah. Steve Fezzik is our guest. Fez, good game at SoFi this weekend. The undefeated Cardinals coming in to play the undefeated Rams. The spread opened at Rams by 5.5. The latest line on pregame is Rams by 4.5. What's the right side of that game, in your opinion?
I think the side is properly priced. I would look to play the over at 54.5. There's a trend that if a team starts 3-0, and both these teams are 3-0, but if a home team is 3-0, they go over the total a disproportionate amount of the time. And this kind of makes sense. Think about a poker player in a tournament that has the chip lead. That's kind of both these teams. They play fast, they play loose, they play aggressive, and that leads to more scoring. There's no reason for either of these teams to hold back. The only caveat is Arizona has really struggled with Murray against the Rams. The Rams do have, you know, a new defensive coordinator each and every year. I don't know if that changes things, but I know Murray's playing great. I bet over 54.5.
Go ahead, Clinton.
The Dallas Cowboys are popular out here in California. They're favored against the Panthers, but the Panthers are undefeated. They might have issues in terms of what McCaffrey's going to do, but they haven't lost a game yet this year. What are you looking at for that game?
So McCaffrey is hugely important, but despite him being out, I still bet Carolina. It's all about the schedule. Carolina got a laugher on Thursday. 10 days to prepare. Dallas, fat, drunk, and happy off a tremendous win against a division rival on Monday night, and they're hungover this week. I don't like McCarthy as a coach. Terrible game manager, but certainly has a team playing well. Close game. I'll take Carolina plus 4.5.
Fez, another big game at SoFi is happening Monday night. Raiders-Chargers. Both of these teams are better than I thought they would be. Right now, it's Chargers by 3. What's the right side of the Raider-Charger game on Monday night?
I think it is the Raiders, and it all comes down to one factor, and anyone who listened to the show 2 weeks ago knows I gave out Dallas against the Chargers. I like the Chargers. I bet the Chargers on the road against Kansas City, but when the Chargers are home, they don't have the crowd support. This is a home game for the Raiders. John, I'm going to put the over-under 86% Raider fans. Is that too high?
No, you're about right. Maybe more.
All right. This is the I have to ask this question because I have friends that are degenerates and they will tune into anything no matter how bad it is. And Thursday night football, typically, as you just said, clunker. We got the Houdays versus the Wires, the Bengals versus the Jags. What? Give me anything to give this matchup a little juice, Fez.
I'll tell you the bets that I made on this game. So I played the first half to go under 23. Brand new head coach for Jacksonville, rookie quarterback for Jacksonville. I think they play close to the vest, try not to turn the ball over, and that produces a slow start to the game. Although I would lean to Jacksonville plus the 7.5, just to lean on that. I certainly have no problem teasing the Bengals through those key numbers of 3 through 7, teasing Cincy down from minus 7.5 to minus 1.5. What do you tease them with, you can ask. I think you can use the Minnesota Vikings, or you can use Seattle, or you can use Atlanta. There's three partners with your Cincinnati Bengal teaser.
All right, Fez, one more question before I ask you for your best bet. There is a game this weekend with a monster number. Houston at Buffalo. The Bills are favored by 16.5. If you had to bet that game, what's the right side?
I think it is Houston. I get it that their quarterback is horrible, and Houston with the rookie quarterback is the worst team in the NFL. And I've got them rated as such. And I have the Bills at the very top, tied for the top with the Rams, with Tampa Bay and Kansas City as being the best team. Despite that, when I run my power ratings, I still only come up with this game being 14.5. And the reason being is that once a team gets up 10, they tend to let up. And I know that all the Bills do is throw typically. It's a long season. So if ever there was a game, if they get up 20, to go ahead and run the ball some, it's this game. The back door should be open. If you had to bet it, don't watch it. If you bet it, Texans.
All right, Fez, did you already mention your best bet, or is it something we haven't talked about yet?
We have not spoken about it yet. It is best bet time, 2-1 year to date. I'm sure everyone's already on this. It's so obvious. I'm on the New York Jets plus
what?
The 7. I would bet this right now. Believe it or not, I'm confident this line is going to crash. And it's a bet against the Tennessee Titans. And it's a bet on the New York Jets defense. What do we know about the Titans? Really good offense, sexy playmakers, horrible defense. Jets, pretty good defense, absolutely atrocious offense. But I think the Titans look past this game, and further, the Titans, both Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, they're starting wide receivers. I think they both can miss. They're both doubtful
to
play.
Yeah.
And with that downgrade, you know what? The Jets, here's a stat for you. The Jets are 0-3. They've gotten crushed, hung in there against Carolina. They've not given up 26 points to any opponent all year long, and the Tennessee Titans over-under for team total is 26. I think it's 20-17. The Titans find a way to win. Jets plus 7. Best bet that 7 won't be there tomorrow. You have to bet that today.
Fez, you know that in order to win, the Jets actually need to score, right? Against Denver last week, I don't even think they crossed the 50.
Great point, but you know what? To cover 7, they don't have to score. I learned this in Bad News Bears. I was just watching the remake of that, and Amanda was pitching, and Buttermaker screamed, they can't win if they don't score. So Lupus gave away the game, but they did cover the run line, plus 1.5.
That's a gambler, a guy who watches the Bad News Bears and then pays attention to the run line.
Yeah, exactly.
That is outstanding. All right, Fez, great stuff. As usual, I can't believe your best bet is the Jets. I can't talk you out of that.
Some might argue that Lupus is quarterbacking them with a reincarnated as Wilson. No, the Jets are a tremendous bet.
Listen to yourself. But even Jet fans don't bet on the Jets.
Now, and I haven't bet on the Jets all year long, so now is the time to get on the Jets. And after we cash this ticket, we'll get right back off them. I'm a mercenary. You know that.
All right. Thanks, Fez. Appreciate your time.
Take care now.
By the way, Greg, that's the part of the conversation to play for Fez next week where he says, now is the time to get on the Jets.
Yeah. Isolate that.
I've got a couple of friends who are Jet fans that honestly think the Jets are incapable of scoring. Like they can't. Clinton, I don't think they crossed the 50.
They didn't look good at all. And it's not just like the turnover. A team can be inert offensively and maybe luck up every once in a while. But the constant turnovers just are demoralizing. Just watching them is a disaster. I was watching the Jets with Jets fans last week. They were not happy.
All right. Coming up next, open the phones. It's time for Lie of the Day. Now, we're going to put a twist in the Lie of the Day. All right. We're going to take as many calls as we need to give away the tickets. But, Clinton, if you have a guess, don't tell me what it is, but do you have a guess as to what the lie of the day might be?
I have a guess, yeah.
Okay, Greg, do you have a guess?
Not really. I think I know about when it was, though.
Okay. Jorge, do you have a guess?
I do not.
All right, so you guys can have a choice of either guessing yourself or letting Clinton guess for you, and if Clinton's right, you would win the tickets.
Oh, so that's a lot of pressure. Okay.
Well, no, but they can.
That's fair.
I just heard from one of my friends that's a Jet fan that says, lighten up on my Jets. You don't even like your Jets. What are you talking about? All right, 877-710-ESPN. If you can smoke out the lie of the day that I told at some point during the show, you win tickets to the Rams-Cardinal game this Sunday at SoFi. Two undefeated teams from the NFC West. We'll do it all next, 710 ESPN. Okay, we have reached the point of the show where we have a pair of tickets to give away to this Sunday's Ram game. Cardinals at the Rams, both teams undefeated. A battle between Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford. Clinton, two of the leading candidates for MVP of the NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody who can identify the lie of the day. Now, at some point today, with all the stories I've told, I completely made something up. That's the lie of the day. Clinton has a guess. He's holding on to it.
Yeah.
Bergman, you have no guess, correct?
No, I had one earlier. I forgot what it was, though.
Okay,
so I don't
and
say.
Jorge has no guess. So Clinton's the only one you can pivot to.
Okay, so hold on. Quickly before this, I have a theory of sort of like what the topic was. I don't know
close
that I'd
enough.
Be able to specify. Okay.
Close enough. All right, and you may never have to use it. These guys either are allowed to guess on their own or to defer to you.
Okay.
And that's the way it works. Whoever gets lie of the day gets the tickets. And we're going to start with Chris in Long Beach. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing?
I'm doing great, John. I got it.
I like it. I like your confidence. What's the lie of the day?
You did not break up with your girlfriend by leaving a note on your pillow.
Chris? You're 100% right!
Yeah, baby! Oh, my God!
Right out of the gate. Yesterday, I fooled like seven people. Today, I fooled no one.
That was the one I was thinking of, by the way.
Clinton, yep. Was that your guess as
Definitely,
well?
Definitely, because when you were pressed on that, you seemed to move a couple of other different directions. That's why I asked, what year was that specifically? And it was like, oh, mid-90s, or was whatever,
93,
whatever it was.
93.
Yeah, it didn't sound, you didn't sound like you were convicted on that.
Well, Chris, you win. Hang on the line. Greg will get your information, and we'll see you at SoFi this Sunday, okay?
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right. See, so I thought for sure that somebody would go for the fact that I sold my house to John Shaw and I bought my house from Steve Sachs. That strangely is true.
The other thing I was going to – I thought you might have perhaps embellished a couple things Shaq had done, because the only one of those I hadn't heard was the brand-new truck the next day.
Yeah. The Oklahoma State thing, totally true.
Yeah.
I thought I put enough – doubt out there that, by the way, you know where I got that? Break up with a girl in a post-it note?
No.
Sex in the City.
Oh.
Okay. Ron Livingston was dating Carrie Bradshaw, Sarah Jessica Parker, and he broke up with her with a post-it note. And she was furious.
Livid, yeah.
Yeah. And like never forgave him for it. So it became like this huge deal. But anyway, congratulations to Chris in Long Beach. He's going to the game. All right, so I wanted to get this in here before we go to the Game of Games. And by the way, Game of Games today is huge. Basically, it's Bergman's game.
So I'm
Clinton,
out.
Jorge, and me are battling. If Clinton or I win the month in 10 grand in mythical money. If Jorge wins, he ties me and takes 5 grand right out of my pocket. Okay. And I know Bergman, and I know he probably tailored this game to Jorge.
So, I'm actually going to say I did not.
We'll see. We'll see. But before we get to that, I wanted to drop a couple of things in here. Number one.
I should have, though.
Did you guys see, I sent this picture to Greg and Jorge Clinton. I don't know if you saw it. Last weekend, there was a game played in Tallahassee at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
The side was between Louisville and Florida State. At the end of the first quarter, unless this is photoshopped, and I have no reason to believe it is, at the end of the first quarter, the side judge is walking over to talk to the referee, and he's eating Skittles out of a bag. Bergman, do you think this is real? Is this photoshopped by chance?
No, I think it's real. I mean, why not? Sometimes you get hungry.
But have you ever
seen the rainbow?
Exactly.
Have you ever seen an official at a major sporting event, right in the middle of the game, reach into his pocket and break out a bag of Skittles?
On a commercial.
Taste right.
I've seen umpires chew gum in between innings and other things like that, but I've never
seen... But no, this guy, like in his right hand, he's got a bag of Skittles, and in his left hand, he's eating, like right in the middle of the game.
But it's also like, it's like he's like approaching... the other official, like he's like in the middle of a
like
talk.
He's telling him something.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like it's weird. It's almost like even if this weren't in the middle of a game, this would be a weird time to be eating Skittles, bro. We're talking. You know what I'm saying? Like it was very odd. But I guess the guy needed a little sugar rush to stay on top.
I'm surprised that like nobody's made a bigger deal out of it. You know that this guy right in the middle of the game breaks out a bag of Skittles.
I don't know. Are there any sort of like regulations against what you're allowed to eat on the field?
Maybe like what's next? Like, could he break out a bag of popcorn?
Oh, that'd be great. Like there's a touchdown and he's just like munching on popcorn. Touchdown.
Who's the Broncos quarterback who snuck in a hot dog in the middle of a game?
Well, it sounds like Jay Cutler, but I have no idea.
hot dog.
All right. So the other thing is, Clinton, you know those hockey games on New Year's Day every year where they play in an outdoor venue, like they played one at Wrigley Field, they played one at Yankee Stadium.
I've been to them.
The NBA is playing around with an outdoor game. Like they would an actual NBA game, maybe in Rucker Park or maybe at Main Beach down in Laguna or, you know, at some famous outdoor court. Good idea or a bad idea?
I don't think this is a bad idea, but I think that it's coming from the wrong place. I was at the Field of Dreams game this year, and so, like, I understand.
Which was unbelievable,
It was pretty unbelievable, but it came with its own issues, which, reminder, again, you're playing a baseball game in the middle of an active farm. Mulch and manure was the name of the game. Anyway, so
it had a noticeable odor?
Oh, bro, are you kidding me? mixed in with
that's one thing 8,000
drunk people.
Home.
Yeah. I mean, it was, anyway, that's another discussion.
Yeah, but you know that game is never going away because of how great the game was and how successful the viewing
was.
We'll
see. There's a lot of local issues there that I don't need to get into here. But my point is this. The NBA should have been doing something like this a long time ago, and they don't need it to be this big one-time magical thing. I think the way that you do it is you find a way, and by the way, you never play these games on blacktops, but you can play outdoor games at venues that, to me, they have to be in the preseason. I just don't think it makes sense to make these games regular season games. And number two—
because you know the hockey games and the baseball game were regular season
games. No, I'm familiar. I'm well familiar with that. It's just that that's a different thing. Those leagues are bigger. It's a different labor base. If you lose somebody because they're playing on blacktop in an outdoor game,
I'm
in the
with
NBA,
you. I think they would have to put a hardwood court down.
You'd have to put a hardwood court down. And to me, I'm thinking something closer along the lines of, and this is not a venue thing, this is just in terms of actual production setup. When they play those games on like aircraft carriers,
right?
You know,
they did a college game, North Carolina, Michigan.
Exactly.
Right.
They've had a couple. Some didn't work because they were outside, but that's the way to go with this. You don't try to find a way to jam a bunch of people into the Rucker, especially not in a pandemic. That's just unsafe. But you just find locations that would be cool places to build a basketball installation. And I think that's completely doable. I think that's the way you could do the All-Star game as well, if we're being real honest here. And yeah, I think it's a good idea, but I don't think you need to necessarily use the Field of Dreams as your main motivation. You're talking to somebody that lives in Venice because White Man Can't Jump is my favorite sports movie of all time. I understand how these motivations happen. My point is, I don't think the NBA right now is that desperate as Major League Baseball was to try to get their product out there.
By the way, not to ruin your love affair with White Man Can't Jump, but let me just tell you this. There's no way the security guard at the Sony lot could get a contestant on the show. I'm just telling you. That's not the way it
works. You never know. Hollywood magic, baby.
Yeah, the security guard ain't running to the showrunner saying, I need you to put Rosie Perez on the show. The gaping hole in that movie. And by the way, Wesley Snipes cannot dunk. Wesley Snipes,
what are we
like
doing here?
Eight.
Come on. You would not say that to Wesley Snipes' face. No way.
All right, coming up next, a very important game of games, the final game of games for the month of September. Either I'm going to walk away with $10,000 in mythical money, or George Briones is going to screw me and take half of it out of my pocket. Greg's game, Clinton can play spoiler, and it's all next, 710 ESPN. All right, it's all come down to this. We play game of games every day. We compete for the month. This is the last day of September. I have 8. George has 6. Greg's out of it, but it's his game. Clinton, you're playing the role of spoiler.
Okay.
If you win or I win 10 grand in mythical money. If Jorge pulls it out, he snags a tie for the month of September and gets half of my 10 grand. 5 grand right in his pocket. Greg, you hold our future in your hands. What is today's game?
All right. So the Dodgers hit 4 home runs last night in the 8th inning. So it got me thinking about guys that have hit 4 home runs in a game before.
Okay.
Now, this is super easy to Google, so do not Google. But I'm going to try and make it a little bit more difficult to pick out who the guy is. Name is your buzzer. Are you ready to go? And I do have a tiebreaker, by the way.
So wait, do you have an actual question? Or
I do. I do. I'm going to just start naming off. I'm going to start saying things about this player. You have to tell me when you know who it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he has played on 4 different teams in his career. He's a 4-time All-Star and has won a World Series. He was drafted by the Houston Astros. He hit the 4 home runs against the Dodgers in 2017 while with the Diamondbacks.
Ooh.
No? Okay, his first name is Julio Daniel, but just goes by initials.
Jorge. John.
Jorge.
AJ Pollock.
No.
John.
John.
JD Drew.
No.
Oh.
Clinton.
I don't know.
Oh, it's J.D. Martinez, isn't
it? Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to ask J.D. Drew, but okay.
Yep, J.D. Martinez. I could have kept going and said he plays for the Red Sox right now.
Right. I didn't know that J.D. Martinez had hit 4 homers in a game, though. That's the other thing.
So he did.
I'd forgotten that.
Yes.
The number one on that list. Are there more questions about that, or can I say this?
No. We're going to the next one now.
My camera is what I'm going to say.
All right, so this guy was a bit surprising when he hit his 4 home runs. He's played on 3 different teams and hasn't played since 2019 when he was with the Giants. His real name is Ryan, but he's known by his nickname that children love to play with. He hit the four run home runs with the Reds in 2017 as their second baseman.
Oh, John.
John.
Scooter Gennett.
Scooter Gennett is the right answer.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I was going to say Pokey Reese never hit four homers.
No, Pokey Reese did not. God, Pokey Reese.
I remember
Reese.
When he did that.
I have not heard that name in forever.
Well, you said a thing kids like to play with. Gumby and Pokey.
All right, so the next one is this one. This man was the first American League player to ever hit four home runs in a game. He was born Heinrich Ludwig, but that's not the name that he went that he goes by or went by. Today, I consider myself.
John. Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig is the right answer.
Ah,
Lou
Gehrig is the right answer.
I am just blanking on all these bizarro baseball questions.
Today I'm going to lose.
Yeah, right? I'm not spoiling anything right here.
All right, the next one. This man has been MVP, an All-Star, and won a World Series as the MVP. And he is obviously a Hall of Famer. His batting stance was a bit weird, where he kind of turned his back to the pitcher and shook his ass a little bit. He might be the most famous Philly of all time and spent his whole career with them.
John. Well, the greatest home run hitter for the Phillies ever is Mike Schmidt.
That is absolutely who it is. Mike Schmidt. Oh.
I was going to say Michael Jack Schmidt.
Yep. That's there you go.
Great names
left,
of all
Greg?
Time.
I have 10 of them, but we can stop whenever you want.
No. Well, if I get to 5, I think I've got them.
I think you did.
Okay, right. So.
Jorge, where are you?
I thought this game was suited towards Jorge. What happened to that?
I said I should have. All right, so this man played for 4 different teams in his career and has won a Gold Glove and Silver Slugger as an outfielder. He finished his career with the Mets. He's Jewish. He has the most home runs all time as a Dodger with 49 in 2001.
Oh, John.
John.
It's the Jewish guy.
The Jewish guy.
Sean Green.
That's what I was trying to avoid.
Jewish guy. Oh, he's the Jewish guy.
No, yes. Greg, remember he made a big deal about whether or not
exactly.
he should play on Yom Kippur.
Oh, yeah. Yes, which is why I put in the whole he's Jewish.
Man, these are obscure.
All right, I need one more to lock it
all
up.
All right, so the next one is this one. This man played for 8 different teams in his career. He is the only player in the history of baseball to hit 2 home runs in a game with those 8 different teams. The 4 home runs came in a game in 2002 with the Seattle Mariners, where he probably had his best production as a major leaguer.
Oh, Yates.
Yates.
So this is Mike Cameron, right?
This is Mike Cameron.
Okay.
Absolutely, Mike Cameron.
Okay. All right.
Well, nice.
I was like,
done.
Wait a second. Yeah. I'm going to remember the brothers that hit 4 homers in a game now. Don't get it twisted.
All right. So while they weren't on the same team when it happened for both of them, he was a teammate with another person on this list of 17 players. He won a World Series in his rookie season in 1993. He played for 3 different teams, but spent most of his career in the Great White North.
Yates. Is this Mark Whitten?
No.
Oh.
He's one of only 6 players to hit 30 home runs for 10 consecutive seasons.
Oh, that wouldn't have been Whitten. He didn't hit that many homers.
No.
And he spent most of his career
in the Great White North. All right.
I don't know that one.
3. It's Carlos Delgado. Carlos Delgado.
He was number 21.
Yeah, he was teammates with Sean Green. Okay, the next one. This man has won 3 World Series, 2 as a player and 1 as a manager. He is not a Hall of Famer, but very well could be and should be. If the should be part didn't make it obvious, he hit the 4 home runs as a Dodger. He was the manager of the Miracle Mets in 1969.
John. The manager of the Miracle Mets was Casey Stengel, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Ooh. Tough elimination on a clincher.
I don't know.
Out of time.
Who is it?
Sidebar, can I just say that before when Greg said his first name is Julio Daniel, his next guest was AJ Pollock too. A tweeter just sent that in, and I was like,
it was Gil Hodges. Gil Hodges was the answer to that.
Oh, Gil Hodges. All right, was that the last one?
No, I have 2 more.
All right, go for it. All right. Can't catch me as you get some. Well, no, nobody can catch me. Go ahead. Do
this man was your typical big-time slugger and played for 3 different teams, but one of those teams he played for twice. He was supposed to be the next great Angel power hitter, but did not pan out. He battled a lot of alcohol addiction that cut his career short. John.
It's Josh Hamilton.
Josh Hamilton is the right answer.
Yeah.
All right, well, do you want the tiebreaker? Do you just want the
tiebreaker? Yeah, let's just hear the last one since we're here.
Do you want to do the last one and the tiebreaker? The last one is, the accolades of this man are too long to name and was an easy Hall of Fame induction. He began his career in the Negro Leagues. He helped move a team from New York to California. His nickname is the Say Hey Kid.
John. That's easy.
Go ahead, Clinton.
Willie Mays.
That is the right answer. Willie Mays is the right answer. And the tiebreaker. There are 17 players to hit 4 home runs in a game. How many career home runs do they all have combined?
Oh.
So closest without going over. John, you can go first.
All right. So you figure most of these guys
are not as big a deal home run hitters as you think.
Right. But still, if they each average 100, that would be – there were 17 guys. You
17
correct?
Guys.
So it's being a little more than 1,700. I'll say 2,200.
2,200. Clinton.
I'll say 2,500.
And Jorge.
2,501.
2,501 is the right answer because the correct answer is actually much higher. 5,294.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say because the top end of that is going to be pretty thick when you think about it.
Willie Mays had 600 by himself. Mike Schmidt almost had 600 by himself, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah, he was right around there. And so did and Carlos Delgado was in the 400s. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
can I make a mythical money bet?
Yes.
$2,000 Mason doesn't show up tomorrow.
That's a very good bet. And you're probably going to win.
That's my bet. $2,000 that Mason mails it in and comes up with a mystery ailment. Because you know what? Whenever he pulls this on a Thursday, he's basically
that means
just
the Fridays,
buying himself a 4-day
right,
week.
Friday's out of the picture. Right.
Right. But, and also, if he hears about this,
he's definitely
it might motivate
gonna.
Him to come in.
Okay.
Because he doesn't want me to win $2,000. But Clinton,
mystery
thank
ailment.
You for coming in today, man. You saved the day.
Of course, man. No problem. I love talking with you guys, and I love talking with all the guests and, you know, figuring out my gambling situation, too. Now right. You guys know about the colonizers, too. So there's that.
Exactly. And the colonizers and the squid game.
Yes, the squid game is – I'm going to watch some more of that right now.
All right, coming up next, George Sedano and Jennifer Aniston's next boyfriend, if I have anything to say about it, Scott Kaplan, 710 ESPN.